this word is important, and I don't have a lot of time to get it into your spirit, and it's not going to take long for me to do it either. But I do want you to get these couple of principles that's going to be a blessing to your life. So stand with me for the reading of the word. Let's go to Judges, the fourth chapter. Judges, the fourth chapter. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Judges, the fourth chapter. This is going to seem odd to your ears, but I promise you that there's a lot of meaning in this particular story. When the Spirit of the Lord took me to it, I said, God, I don't want to talk about this. This is crazy. But as it relates to the emergence that is going to take place in this next decade, my assignment this morning is for you to hear these words. The word of the Lord comes to us out of Judges, the fourth chapter. And the Bible says this: the people of Israel kept right on doing whatever they wanted to do. And again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. Keep going. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Yabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel for 20 years. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And the Bible says, and she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, have not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon, Sisera, the captain of Yabin's army, with the chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thy hand. The next verses are very important. And Barak said unto her, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you won't go, then I will not go. Verse 9 says this, and she said, surely I will go, notwithstanding the journey that you take, not be for your honor. In other words, this ain't for your honor. What's about to happen next is not for your honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose, and she went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali and Kadesh, and he went up with 10,000 men at his feet. And Deborah went up with him. Now Heber, the Kenite, which was of the children of Hodab, the father-in-law of Moses, had severed himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent unto the plain of Zanaim, which is by Kadesh. Verse 12 says this, and they showed Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, was gone up to Mount Tabor. Yeah. And Sisera gathered together all his chariots, 900 of them in total of iron, and all the people that were with him from Harosheth of the Gentiles unto the river of Kishon. Verse 14 says this. Here's where we go. And Deborah said unto Barak, up. Somebody shout up. And Deborah said unto Barak, up. For this is the day which the Lord has. For this is the day, come on, get in the room with me, which the Lord hath, not will, but hath delivered Sisera into thy hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor and his 10,000. The Bible says in the next verse, as they go down, and the Lord discomfited Sisera and all his chariots and all his hosts, which the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot, fled away on his feet. Here's where it gets weird. The next verse says this, but Barak pursued after the chariots and after the hosts, and unto Harosheth of the Gentiles, and all the hosts of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. Howbeit, Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite. For there was peace between Yabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber, the Kenite. Verse 18, and Jael went out to meet Sisera, and said unto him, come on in, my lord, fear not. And when he came in unto her tent, she covered him with a mantle, wrapped him in a blanket. And said unto her, he said unto her, give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I'm thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink and covered him. Yeah, she being nice. And again, he said unto her, stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be, when any man doth come and inquire of thee and say, is there any man here? You tell him, I ain't here. You tell him, no. Here we go. And Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent. Then she took a hammer in her hand. And she walked over to him real soft. And then she put the nail in his temple. And then hammered it to the ground. Because he was already sleeping weary. So he died, y'all. Sorry. So Barak, in pursuit, looking for Sisera, came in to the tent to only find Jael and said unto him, come and I will show you what you're looking for. And when he came into the tent, Sisera was dead and the nail was in his temple. Now I know that sounds weird. I know it sounds crazy, but the next verse is going to help you understand a little something. So God subdued on that day, Yabin, the king of Canaan, before the children of Israel. I know that's a lot to take in, but my assignment this morning in the next few minutes is to preach to you from this title. It's up from here. It's up from here. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for this opportunity to hear from you, to receive this word from you. Speak to us like only you can. Give us a right now word. We need direction. Father, if we get direction, we won't need as much correction. So direct us. Let our hearts be open to receive this word, and on our ears that we're able to hear it. The most important thing, Father, is that you have your way. Do whatever it is you want to do. This is your house. We are your people. And we will give you all the praise, glory, and honor for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. If you agree, shout amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor. Smile as bright as you can. Come on, show them everything God has blessed you with. Gold teeth are included because this is Baltimore. Come on and say it's up from here. It's up. It's up from here. Yeah, it's up from here. It's up from here. If I can just for a moment have with you a divine conversation, a divine conversation. And when I say divine conversation, I am saying that because in the text that we have taken, we stumble upon the text in the middle of what is a divine conversation and a cycle that seemingly cannot be interrupted. Judges, if you will, is a book of history. It is not prophetic in the sense, it has nothing to do a lot with the redemptive history of Israel or the eternal purposes of God, but it shows us that God is using individuals who are doing horrible things and are flawed in character only to the end of a promise that he's given to the whole people. In other words, what we see here is the phrase at work that suggests that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. In other words, this is where emergence theory stems its philosophical thought from, that you cannot be greater than the whole equal totality of the parts. If you take all of the parts and you put them to the side, they would not have as much power, but also they would begin to work together out of consequence, if you will, of their lack or their need to have something to be added to them so that they can work properly. And so what you have here is the understanding of that concept that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. In other words, why would you put all of these horrible stories together individually? People like Ehud, who was stabbed, my God, in his stomach by somebody. That's just hard. That's a Netflix movie right there. Come on, somebody. And then you have all of these people who show up and emerge on the scene out of nowhere with no backstory. Samson just shows up all of a sudden as a judge. You get a little bit of history about who his parents is. And Ehud shows up and you get no information about where he really came from. Shamgar, who was a pea farmer, shows up and becomes a judge because he's upset about the Philistines taking his harvest from him. And at one moment he decides to stand up and he shouts his name, and when he shouts his name, the Philistines run because he says, "I'm Shamgar," and Shamgar means God is on the move. And so when the Philistines heard that God was on the move, they thought that God was behind Shamgar, so they let his stuff alone. Sometimes you got to stand up and know who you are in God and let the enemy know God is on the move in my life. And just like Shamgar, Deborah shows up on the scene in the text out of nowhere, and she's a prophetess. She's a female judge who doesn't rule like the rest. She's not a warrior. She is a judge in the sense of being able to institute justice throughout the land. So she's sitting under her palm tree to hold court. That's what she's doing, so that she can judge the disputes between people. But there's a war brewing and battling, because for 20 years, this guy by the name of Yabin, the king of Canaan, has a captain whose name is Sisera, who has 900 iron chariots, and he has been oppressing Israel for 20 years. Somebody shout 20 years. 20 years. For two decades, he's been an oppressive force against the people of God. But all of a sudden, you see in the narrative that in one moment, God brings a few people together individually and uniquely, coming together individually, but together to do something and to accomplish something for the purposes of God. And so the whole becomes greater than the sum of its parts. We don't hear a lot about Deborah or her background. We don't hear a lot about Barak or his background. But all we know is they show up on the scene because there is this captain of this great army that continues to oppress the people. And prophetically, Deborah gets a strategy that says that God is about to do a thing, but the honor is not going to be yours, Barak. In other words, what's about to happen is not going to be based on your strength or your might, but based on your ability to hear and to listen to what God is about to say. In other words, your victory is going to come from your prophetic imagination, your ability to draw on the invisible and believe that the invisible is actually possible. That what God is telling you about the next 10 years or the next 6 months or the next 3 days about your life is valid, and that you're going to humble your pride and your emotions and stymie your fears and step out in faith and say, "God, I believe you." Slap your neighbor high five and say, "You're going to have to believe God this year, baby." Oh, God. And so as we begin to believe God, that means we have to have divine conversations. Divine conversations leads to God directives. And God directives are always prophetic in a sense that the strategy does not make sense at all. It doesn't look like I should be building my battle strategy based upon this information. But if I learn how to lean not on my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge him, the Bible says God will make my path straight. That's why Deborah said, has not the Lord gone ahead of you? I came to tell somebody this morning, don't worry about what's out in front of you, because God has already gone out ahead of you. Isaiah said that he'll go before you and he'll make the crooked places. Oh, touch three people and say, God is already ahead of you, baby. He's 10 years down the road and he's with you at the same time. That's how off the chain our God is. A divine conversation suggests, I don't have a lot of time to stay here, but a divine conversation suggests that it is in our prayer time that we begin to experience that conversation or that triune nature of God, that we begin to understand that God wants to talk with us. God, that he actually has something to say. And it is in those God conversations that God begins to capture our hearts and our minds so that our minds don't begin, watch me now, to go over or usurp his authority over our lives. In other words, for you to be able to accomplish whatever it is in your heart to do this year, it's not going to just take a mental shift. It's also going to take a shift in your will. You're going to have a shift in your will, your capacity to want to do it your way, and says, God, I want to win, but I want to win your way. And if your way requires me to do some things that's off the beaten path, that's not the conventional concept, then I trust you enough based on past experiences that I'm going to be okay. So, which leads me to my next little subpoint here, is that when you read Judges, you're reading history. And what I find interesting in this particular concept is that God does not hide the history. He lets it out there all to everybody to see the ugliness of what's really going on and everything that everybody did and how bad it was and how off it was. And after each judge died, the children of Israel went and did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And then they would go and try to have a divine conversation. And then God would show up with another judge to help them with their plight. And then when that person died, y'all ain't getting no help in here. When that person died, then the people will go right back into doing evil in the sight of the Lord. Which made me think they ain't got no relationship with God. They got a relationship with a person that's got a relationship with God. Y'all ain't said nothing to me in here, because they're putting their future in the hands of somebody else rather than stepping into that moment of having a divine conversation with the Lord for themselves. They've gotten used to living vicariously and getting victory vicariously. So, for the sake of time, in the text we see Deborah, she shows up out of nowhere. Why? Because sometimes you need a voice for your voice. A prophetic voice is a voice for the voices. It gives you prophetic insight so that it helps you with your prophetic imagination. And that's how Deborah shows up on the scene to be able to help us imagine prophetically how we can get victory. And Barak is a warrior. And I find it interesting that Barak has two names. His etymology is interesting to me because it means lightning, but it also means blessing. It means lightning or fast or quick, but it also means blessing. And so when Barak shows up, he shows up because he's tired for 20 20 years they've been oppressed, and he's trying to get a strategy on how to win against this Sisera fella. And as he's trying to get a strategy, he goes to Deborah, and Deborah prophesies, and she says to him, go up. Oh God. In other words, the reason why you want to go up to Mount Tabor is because what you're going to do is you're going to render null and void the 900 chariots that have been oppressing you for so long. If you go up, y'all ain't saying nothing. If you go up, then the chariots won't be able to go up. They're going to meet you at Mount Tabor, but they're not built to go where you are. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I got to change my strategy. I got to go up. My God, I got to go up. And when I go up, he goes up. He goes up to Mount Tabor, and he takes his men, 10,000 of them, up. And when he goes up, the chariots doesn't have the capability to get a head start on them. He gets a head start on the chariots because the chariots can't go up the mountain. You're fighting from the wrong position. I wish I had somebody in here. You're fighting from the wrong position. Touch your name and say, you're fighting from the wrong position. Come on here. What's about to emerge in your life is how you fight. And how you fight is from your divine conversation. Let me show you how to go up in God. Let me show you how to have the right position. Because when I say go up, I'm not talking about climbing up no rough side of the mountain. I'm talking about when your knee touches the ground, you literally touch the heaven. This is how you go up. When you get down on your knees and say, Father, I need you. Every hour, slap your neighbor high and say, get ready to go up. My Bible says, humble yourself. And the moment you humble yourself, the Bible says, in due time, the Lord will do what? Exalt you. So to go up, I got to go down. Slap your name and say, it's up from here. It's up. It's up from here. It's up from here. It's up from here. I got to get my prayer life back. I got to start communicating with, oh, y'all don't want to talk back to me. Barak means blessing, and it also means lightning. It means blessing, and it also means lightning. So for the sake of time, and I don't have a lot of it, if I can tell you real quick, your blessings are not going to have to fight this year. And you're not going to have to fight for your blessings. I'm going to say it over here. Maybe they didn't hear me. Your blessings are not going to have to fight. And you're not going to have to fight for your blessings. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and it addeth. So Barak gets his strategy from the prophetess, the prophetic imagination, through divine conversation. And as he gets this information, let me hurry up and get to where I gotta go. He's now stepping into the invisible, or for lack of a better term, I don't want to freak you out, prophetic world. He's stepping into it, which is based upon faith, hope, and love. Stay with me. It makes sense because you cannot have prophetic imagination without faith, hope, and love. Paul said, none about of these three, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Faith is the art of hearing the invisible. And if you think that you got to have all this faith, let me help you understand how faith works. You cannot make faith. Faith comes. So stop trying to spend a lot of time trying to make faith. You have to have it. If I had a cookie in my hand, I said, have a cookie. The only way you can have it is to take it, because I've already made the cookie. God has already made faith, and he has deposited to each man a measure of faith. You don't have to make it. You have to have it. How do I have it? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So the more I hear his word, the more I believe. Which means I got to get under his word. If I go out here and start listening to everybody else except his word, I won't have faith. Oh my God. I will have a part without the whole. I'll have a principle with no power. And when people are out there teaching you, it's principles. And the principles work. That's fine. But as it relates to my spiritual journey and walk with God, if I have God with me, I have to have faith in Him. Not in the outcome, not in what I want, but in Him. Have faith in God. And if you have faith in God, then you can say to this mountain, get out my way. Oh, I'm preaching the gospel too. Am I talking to anybody in this room? So you have to have faith. Then you have to have hope. Faith is the ability of hearing the invisible. Hope is the ability of believing the invisible. It's not just enough to hear it. I got to then believe it, and I got to begin to act upon it. And then I add love to that thing. And when I love it, love is the ability or the art of trusting the invisible. I got to trust it. That when God gives me the strategy, go up to Mount Tabor. Take 10,000 men with you. I don't hesitate. And the only thing I say is, if you ain't going, I ain't going. Oh, God, because I need the prophetic voice. Without no unction, without no vision, the people perish. And I don't have enough strength right now. I'm not mature enough spiritually to go on my own yet. So I'm going to keep this word with me. And Deborah said, no problem, I'm going with you because I'm going to draw them out. So Lord have mercy. So the word I obey draw out my obstacle. The thing that is, the word that I obey draws out my oppressor. So now I can use my obedience to get rid of my oppressor. Lord Jesus up in here. Because I don't want to go into the next season of my life with this oppressor on my back. Because I got some things I have to do that are required of me based on purpose. And there's some stuff that I just got to deal with before I step into this new decade for real. And so he goes up to Mount Tabor. And then as he goes up to Mount Tabor, Sisera gets an inside scoop or information, intel, if you will. From Heber, the Kenite. Heber, I don't have time to tell you. Heber is Moses' father-in-law's son, if you will. And so they're all related. And his wife, his name is Jael. And Heber, who's married to Jael, tells Sisera that, hey, Barak has gotten all these men up at Mount Tabor. And so Sisera thinks he's going to cut off an attack by meeting him at the point of the attack. But where he is situated on the mountain, you cannot attack from. So Sisera is a sitting duck. I had to understand why was this important and why would God put this in the narrative, because you have Barak, which means blessing. Come on, somebody. Sitting on top of the mountain, and you have Sisera at the bottom of the mountain, and Sisera is the captain of Yabin. Yabin means thought or focus. So you have the captain of focus or the captain of thought sitting at the bottom of the mountain, and what's really been oppressing Israel are their thoughts. Y'all ain't said nothing. So I got my blessing at the top, I got the thing that controls thoughts at the bottom, and I got the prophetic word that says, I need you to go after your thoughts, because if you can go after your thoughts, y'all ain't said nothing to me in here, you can actually get some victory. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm going after my thoughts this year, and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge. Oh, I'm preaching way better than y'all shout. So he runs down the mountain, 10,000 strong. He runs down the mountain. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm running down the mountain. I'm running down the mountain. I'm running down after my thoughts. Every thought that's going to hold up my vision. Every thought that's going to hold up my blessing. Every thought that's going to hold up my dream. Every thought that's going to hold up what God has put in my heart. I'm running. Oh, y'all don't want to talk back to me. He's running after his thoughts. Now, here's where it gets interesting. his thoughts are running too. Because when Sisera finds out that he can't win from this space, oh, your thoughts can't win at the mountain of faith. Your thoughts can't win at the mountain of hope. Your thoughts can't win at the mountain of love. They can't win. This is about how you think. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And how you think is your history, which controls your destiny. And if you don't change the structure of how you think, you'll never walk in what God said that you can walk in. Come on, somebody. So Sisera starts running. He starts running. Lord have mercy. I had to do a deep study because Sisera means battle array. It means to be arrayed in battle or conflict. Yabin is the king, and that's his captain of his army. Yabin means thought, but Sisera means battle array or arrayed in battle or conflict. So my thoughts are being defended by my conflicts. Every fight I've been in is shaping my thinking. Every battle I've endured have gotten into my psyche and it's affecting my purpose. Oh, I'm preaching way better, y'all shouting it, and I'm carrying this stuff around. Wondering why I can't get it done. Wondering why I keep quitting. Wondering why I keep getting in a relationship with the same person. Wondering why I keep getting into these cycles and I can't break them. Because I'm carrying my history in my psyche. And my memories are stopping my momentum. Yabin is sitting back somewhere. He's not even in the fight. It's what's defending the thoughts that's fighting. So my thoughts are not fighting me. It's the memory of my battles that's fighting me. Who hurt me? Who did me wrong? I failed over there. I made a mistake back there. I really messed that up over there. Oh, I can't go through that again. Oh, you ain't gonna hurt me like that again. So I'm gonna shut it down before you could ever do it to me again. So Sisera starts running because he can't fight at hope. He can't defend love. He can't defend against faith. He starts running, and when he runs to Jael. Lord have mercy. A person who emerges in the story that ain't got nothing to do with nothing. A wife of Heber who was in the tent, chilling. In a Palestinian culture and world, doing, excuse my language, ladies, don't kill me, but she's doing women's work in the Palestinian world. She's setting up the tent, she's getting everything ready, she's doing what she does. And here comes Sisera, here comes the defender of thought coming into the tent. Oh, Lord have mercy. Why? Because the tent is where the thoughts are made. Oh, God. My history is in this tent. My life is in this tent. We came as a nomadic people from tents to promise. Y'all ain't said nothing. And I dwelt in here all this time. And now all of a sudden, here comes Sisera. And she says, go on, lay down, baby. He says, okay, I'm tired. I've been running. I'm going to get some rest. She said, go ahead. You want something to drink? He said, oh, man, that'd be so good. She said, no problem. She's pouring this drink. Come on, go to sleep. You want a blanket? Yeah, that'd be nice. Get you this blanket. Jael. Y'all ain't Jah. Y'all ain't said nothing. El meaning God. Y'all ain't said nothing. Jah. No, Lord have mercy. Jael. Jael is in the tent. Jael. Y'all ain't said nothing. Jael is in the tent. Jael is in the tent. Soothing was trying to defend you. Jael is in the tent. Jael. Y'all ain't with me. El meaning God. Jah meaning praise. Praising God is in the tent. Or what God has for my life is in the tent. And that's what's about to take out the thing that's been oppressing me in the tent. And she's saying, lay down, because this is your last day of oppressing God's people. Oh, I wish I had a church. And he lays down, he goes to sleep. She put a blanket on him, and then she takes one of the pegs out of the tent. She takes a peg, like a nail, and a hammer. Oh, God. And she puts it through the temple of the defender of thought, so that what has been defending thought is dead. Oh, slap your neighbor high five and say, you ain't gonna be fighting them thoughts no more. Oh God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Oh, you don't understand. Something just broke in the spirit. Anxiety just broke in the spirit. Oppression just broke in the spirit. Depression just broke in the spirit. You gotta. And here comes Barack running into the tent, looking for the dude. He's got a sword he want to kill. But God already told him prophetically, your blessing ain't going to have to fight. And praise God is out in front of the temple. Y'all are out in front of the tent saying, I got what you're looking for. He's inside, but I already took care of it. Oh, God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. So now I can praise God at another level, because it's already done. Slap somebody a high five and say, it's already done. It's already done. God has gone ahead of you. It's already done. Oh! My God, my God. When it's all over, Deborah and Barak in the next chapter sings a song. And they start praising God based on their history. Here's the big emerging thing in the whole story. Because I said, God, why would you put this in the Bible? I mean, think about it. That's a lot going on. You got the girl in the tent. You got the, you're killing folk. What's going on here? They start praising God. They start writing their song. And they start praising based upon the history. And here's the whole big emerging thing. The whole is greater than the sum of the parts. Because in Judges 5, Deborah and Barak get together. My prophetic imagination and my blessing starts praising God together. And if I sum up the song, basically they said, God won this one. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, baby, get ready for God to win this one. Oh, I wish I had a church in here. I don't care what it is you're about to face. Get ready for God to win this one. I don't care how hard it is. Get ready for God to win this one. God's hand is working in the history. And he doesn't reveal it until the next chapter. And through prophetic song, he lets them know, I was behind it all. Slap your neighbor high five and say, God's behind it all. He's been behind the scenes for the last 20 years. He's been behind the scenes of your life for the last 5 years. But this year, he's about to pop out and say, I already won it for you. I just need you to show up. I just need you to trust me. I just need you to move. I just need you to do what I asked you to do, because I've already done it. If you don't believe me, when Jesus died on the cross, he said, it is finished. Oh, God. And just to be sure that thoughts never come back at you again, he took the crown of thorns on his head. Oh, God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And he said, it's finished. It's done. It's over. 2020 is about emergence, where God shows you what he's been working on. I hear your Holy Ghost. The Lord just told me to tell you, he's about to break his silence in your life. And you are about to see the wonder of his hand. Oh, get good at anointing and high five three people and say, it's the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in our life. Hey! Oh, I wish I had a church. Stop somebody high five and say, God did it, 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 God did it. Yeah, 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 yeah. Somebody shout, yeah. My God, my God. God did it. He healed my body. God did it. God did it. God did it. So it is fitting. It is fitting that we remember what he did today. That we remember that he has been behind the scenes this whole time, working through all the ugly. Oh, my God. Working through all the mess just to fulfill his promise to us. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Remember what he did. He was despised and rejected. He was led to the shears and was dumb, and he opened not his mouth. He was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities. He took the stripes upon his back so that you can be healed. He took nails in his hands, nails in his feet, crown of thorns on his head, took the ridicule, the mockery. He was spat upon, and he didn't say a word. Only to declare, it's finished. So that you can have life. Yeah. Yeah. life. You're in this room right now and you're kind of walking away from the Lord. Forgot about him a little bit. It's all good. He has never forgotten about you. And I know church can get it wrong sometimes and mess us up spiritually and hurt us and do all those things, but so can Macy's and so can Neiman Marcus and so can FedEx when they don't bring your package and so can, but you still shop. The restaurant messed up your food, you was there next week. What is it about when we have to live in ugly, because life is ugly sometimes, that we walk away from God because of ugly? While God is working behind the scenes of the ugly. Our history is ugly. Our world, ugly. But that doesn't mean our God is not at work. He's in total and complete control. He's sovereign. But he just needs some people who are willing to hope, love, and believe. Trust that he is who he says he is. So come on back to Jesus. Come on back. Come on back. Come on back. Before we partake of communion, just come on back. I was preaching to you and you heard God say to you, come on home, just throw your hand up. I want to pray with you right in your seat. Doesn't even matter. Just do it right now. Just do it right now. Just do it right now. I see you. Just do it right now. Father, I thank you for every person that's got their hand up, every person that's coming back to you. You said that you would be faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins, that you will forever be married to the backslider. We believe that, Lord. You said that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe with our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, then we shall be saved. We thank you for that salvation. We thank you for returning back to you. We thank you for returning back to our first love. And we thank you for you are accepting us just as we are, and we are glad about it. And we're not going to let nobody, and I mean nobody, stop us from pursuing a relationship with you. Come into our hearts, God. Change us, make us anew. For any man in Christ is a new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are made new. And if you've prayed that prayer right now, baby, you are a new creation. You are brand new. You are blood bought. You are blood washed. You are saved from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. You might as well be glad about it because the devil can't do nothing about it. Hallelujah. Let's take this moment to remember what the Lord does, what the Lord did for us. That's what communion is all about. Let's reflect for just a few seconds on his goodness, on his kindness. It was in the night that the Lord was betrayed that he took bread and he broke it after giving thanks. And he said, this is my body which is broken for you. He took the cup when he had supped. He said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. If it was us, what you do so in remembrance of me. We're about to serve communion to you. If you could take your seat for a moment as the ushers begin to prepare to serve. We'll take just a few moments to do it and we'll get you home today. Hallelujah. God won this one. God won this one. God won this one. God won this one. As soon as we partake of the communion, we'll do offering. I ain't forgot. I hope you ain't forgot. Did that word bless you today? Yeah. Hallelujah. JL in the tent. Hallelujah. JL is really the ram in the bush. I don't have time to go there, but she's really the ram in the bush. That's what her name means, goat in the bush. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Your blessings are not going to have to fight. And you are not going to have to fight for your blessings. That means when God blesses you this year, that I'm not saying it's not going to be a little difficult road, but when you get, because difficulty is a part of the process. Difficulty shapes your character, it defines you, it refines you. It's part of it. What I'm saying is that when it happens, though, it's not going to be contentious in a fight for you to have to maintain it and to keep it, because God won this one. That's why Deborah told Barak, the honor will not go to you. He didn't kill Thoth. God had to do it. Oh, y'all don't want to talk back to me. So you're fighting from the wrong position. You're fighting from the wrong stuff. You're fighting you. And that's the wrong position. You got to get on your knees. Start talking to him. So it's a surrendering of will. It's a shift in will. That's what this is about. Hallelujah. Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. He shifted his will. And we remember that today as we get ready to partake of communion. Ushers, are we there? Not quite. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Give thanks, for the Lord is good. He has always been good. One voice say, give thanks, for the Lord is good.
For the Lord is good.
He has always been good.
He's always been good.
Say, give thanks.
It was the night when the Lord was betrayed that he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Receive the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. After the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped. He said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. For as often as you drink it, you do so in remembrance of me. Receive the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
For the Lord is good.
Hallelujah.
He has always been good.
Here's what I want you to do. Get your seed in your hand, your tithe, your offering, whatever you're giving unto the Lord. This is your first seed of 2020. Crown your year. Crown your year. Give like you want God to give to you. Whatever your tithe is, tithe, whatever. But if you're not tithing, I want to make a suggestion to you that you at least give the Lord a seed of $40 if you're not tithing. Crown your year. Start giving like you know you're blessed. Start giving like you know the God you serve. Amen. Amen. As soon as you have your seed ready, we're going to bless it. If you need an offering envelope, our ushers have them. If you're giving on debit, credit is all there in your envelope. If you're giving on your phone, you can text GIVE KLC to 34444. GIVE KLC to 34444. If you're watching online, streaming online, you can go to our website, click the give button. Or you can write on your phone, text GIVE KLC to 34444. Sow your seed today. We got some big things in store for 2020. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Emergence, coming into view. What was hidden coming into visibility what could not be seen. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. We know in part, we prophesy in part, but when the whole comes all together, you go, oh, that's what God's been doing. And that's what forms a ta-da moment. That's when it goes, ta-da, amen. Hallelujah. Emergence. Come on, you got that seed ready? Hold it up, let's bless it all over the church. If it's your phone, hold up your phone. Father, we thank you for the ability to give. We thank you that we even got something to give. You have provided seed to the sower. And Father, we will not hold on to that seed. We relinquish it back to you. Because it's a seed. It's going to produce a harvest. You said when we tithe and bring all the tithe and offering to the storehouse, that there might be meat in your house, we get to prove you. Only place in scripture where you tell us that. So we put your word to the test today. We know that you're going to open us the windows of heaven, pour us out a blessing we should not have room enough to receive. Father, we know our fruit will come in its season and it won't spoil on the vine. We know that all nations will see us and see the distinction that we are a blessed people. We thank you for operating in that anointing. We pray this ministry continues to be good stewards. And that anointing rests upon every person that's connected to this place. In Jesus' name, you agree. Shout amen. Amen. Let the ushers usher real quick.
Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus. See, we'll forever praise the name of Jesus.
Of Jesus.
Of Jesus.
Oh, see,
we'll forever praise
the
name.
We won't stop giving you glory. We won't stop giving you
glory.
Gracious unto you, give you peace. May he surround you with his favor like a shield. May his angels encamp themselves round about you. And his precious blood cover you from now to eternity. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you Wednesday night.